L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Second hour, next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee, Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start the second hour talking some Predators, and to help us do that, we go to the phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean joins us. Alex, thanks for taking a couple moments with us. Excited to have you on.
Hey, thanks, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a busy week, I'm sure, for you with the news of Chris McFarland being hired as the new president of hockey operations and general manager. Overall, a well-regarded hire by many. What have been your early impressions of Chris McFarland as he comes here to Nashville?
Yeah, I think it's a huge step in the right direction for the organization. For people who are sort of just casual Predators fans, to even the hardcore ones, like pretty much across the board, people are really on board with this because, I mean, Chris McFarland has a lot of experience in a winning organization with Colorado. Prior to that, he cut his teeth in Columbus for a number of years. But the biggest thing that he gained in working with Colorado was how to build a team from the bottom up, right? So when he got there in Colorado in 2015, the 2015, 2016, 2017 Colorado Avalanche, that was pretty much their rock bottom. I mean, they were last in the NHL one of those years, dead last in the division, all three, and then, you know, built it up from there. And it, of course, a lot of it was through drafting with Mikko Rantanen. Nathan MacKinnon was already there when he got there, but then they got Cale Makar. They got some other role players through the draft. And then free agency and trades, you know, getting guys like Nazem Kadri and Arturi Lehkonen and players like that built the team into a perennial winner and then won it in 2022. The question, obviously, a lot of people have is, you know, how much was he responsible for it? And I that was my initial question as well. Like, how much was he responsible for it? How much was Joe Sakic, who is now the president of hockey operations there? And in my studying of this, if you look at everything that the Avalanche talk about with their setup, those two, Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland, were mentioned almost hand in hand every time. I mean, so it's almost like they got half of Joe Sakic here. you could put it that way. But Chris McFarland himself has a number of just great ideas. And I just want to say, like, the first week of his tenure with the Predators, we've already seen change.
Yep.
He brought in Rob Blake, which we can talk about. Brian Poyle is no longer there. That was not a decision by Chris McFarland. That was Brian Poyle's decision. But today, I have a story of today talking about how he wants to add to the team's data analytics department, which is, he thinks, understaffed, and he wants to add more people to it. So there's a lot of excitement, a lot of movement early on, and if you're a Predators fan, you have to feel good about this so far.
And Alex, you mentioned Rob Blake coming in, Brian Poyle stepping away from the Predators. What are your thoughts on Rob Blake kind of coming in? And it seems like he might be the right-hand man. The former Kings GM joins the Predators front office staff.
Yeah, that was a move that I did not see coming at all. He has connection. I mean, so Chris McFarland, you know, he's known Rob Blake for a while. Obviously, there's connections with the Avalanche there. They've never worked together professionally before now, but I think what McFarland wanted to do was to get someone in the building that he knows has an influence and knows exactly how to maybe lead in a way that the Predators have not had before. The Predators have always had good people leading, like very good people leading. I think he wants someone who is willing to make very tough decisions, that's willing to help him look at things from a deeper, maybe more analytical standpoint, and to have his guy. So He's got his second in command. I mean, look, McFarland's the man in charge. He's the head decision maker. There's no doubt about that. I think that Blake is going to be sort of a right-hand man that's like, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think about this? And then McFarland makes the decision. And that's always important for people to have. What we don't know is what's going to happen next. Is Blake going to just be there in addition to guys like Jeff Kuehlte, who is the assistant general manager and director of scouting, and Scott Nickel, who is over the Milwaukee Admirals and player development? What's going to happen with those guys? We don't know yet. My instinct is that they stay. I think that I don't know that McFarland really wants to get, you know, into the player development side just yet. I think he's more about roster and salary cap and big decisions. And then scouting, obviously, you're not going to see any change with that right now. We're not with the draft three weeks away. The next decisions are interesting, but I do think that the Rob Blake hire was a good one, and McFarland has, you know, got a guy that he trusts in there now.
We're talking to Alex Doherty of the Tennessean, covers the Preds. Alex, I know it's still super early. It's been about a week since we found out about the news of Chris McFarland being the new general manager of the Preds. It sounds like he has a lot of respect for Andrew Brunette, but what is your feel on that situation right now? Do you think Andrew Brunette will be retained as the head coach of the Predators?
I do for now. I see no reason to make a change right now. I know there's a lot of people that might disagree with me there. I think Andrew Brunette's a pretty good coach. He's a young coach. He's learned a lot in his first, you know, 3 years as a full-time head coach. I've seen enough improvement from the roster, considering that the roster has had a very strange few years with an influx of huge talent, or huge names rather, and then also some trying to bring some rookies along. Look at the development of Luke Evangelista last year. Luke Evangelista went from a really disappointing second year to a breakout third year, and is set up for success now. And it found a role, knows exactly how to play in this league. I credit Brunette with that. I credit Ryan O'Reilly with that. A lot of Ryan O'Reilly's resurgence is because of Brunette. So I think there's enough there. Now, as far as like what McFarland may be thinking, if we go back, let me just make a parallel real quick. In 2015, when McFarland arrived, the team had Patrick Waugh as head coach. Things were not going well. The team was on the downward trend. It was at the bottom of the league. They kept Patrick Waugh on for one more year and then fired him after that. And that's when they brought in Jared Bednar, who, you know, Jack Adams winner, Stanley Cup winner, all that. I think we could see a similar thing. Give Brunette a full year here and see how it looks. After that, you might make a change. The other thing is, like, who's out there right now they're going to be interested in? They're not bringing Peter Laviolette back. He's available, but they're not bringing him back. And there's some other options out there, but I just feel like you really don't need to make a change right now. Change the roster first. Change the setup, change the roster, then move on and see what it looks like.
When it comes to McFarland's philosophy on the current state of the roster, he spoke on this a little bit in his introductory press conference, where he mentioned that he wouldn't be trading some of the younger players on the team for older players. But do you think when it comes to his philosophy that he just in general would not trade a lot of the younger players? I feel like we saw that with previous, Barry Trotz and Askarov. Like, I feel like the old staff traded a lot of the younger players. Do you think that will be McFarland's same approach?
I think the only way that he trades a younger player is if he has to attach it as a sweetener for a contract that someone doesn't want to take. Let's take, for example, the Jonathan Marchessault situation. I think Jonathan Marchessault is not a great fit right now. He did not have a good year. It's been a tough couple years. He's got three more years left on his deal at $5.5 million a year. If you have to attach a younger player, and I mean, that could be a draft pick, that could be a prospect you just drafted. If you have to attach a player like that in order for someone to take the full contract and you don't have to retain, he could do that. But that's the only way. I don't think there's any reason that you want to trade. I mean, certainly you don't want to trade Evangelista or Matthew Wood. They're contributing now. But, and then some of the younger players who we haven't seen yet, like Tanner Mullendijk, Ryan Ufko, we've seen a little bit of, Aiden Fink, all these young guys, like, I think he wants to see what they're like. Yeah, any trades that come are going to be, let's move a big contract and free up some room, let's move something around because it's not working right now. That's the March or so example. You know, people want to know, what's he going to do about the goaltender situation, UC Saros? It's a very untradeable contract, not just because of the number, because of how he's playing right now. I don't know that he could get someone to take that without having to add a lot that you don't want to add. So he probably just keeps him and sees, you know, if you can improve the defense enough to make Saros a little bit better, make his numbers look a little better. But, you know, other than that, I really don't see a ton of trading on the roster necessarily. Maybe some moves to get certain people in different positions. I think there's some moves to make, but I don't think you're going to look at a huge, at least not yet.
We're talking with Alex Doherty from the Tennessean. Alex, last one, we'll go big picture here. I know that there's been a lot of debate around what the long-term outlook should be for the Preds. Do you go for it? Do you rebuild and tear it down to the studs, or is it a half measure? He kept his cards close to his chest, but what do you think Chris McFarland's philosophy is going to be for this team and the roster building over the next couple of seasons?
I think the important thing is that it would not be fair to say that the Predators could do exactly what the Avalanche did. They really are not in a position to tank and be at the bottom of the league and get a top three pick for 3 years in a row.
Right.
Mostly because they've got players like Stamkos and Yossi and Forsberg and Saros who are going to – with those players now, you're going to be good enough to be at least like kind of close to the playoffs, right? So he can't do that. I do think that he's going to maybe have an approach that's a 3 to 5 year plan. Like maybe in 3 years, if things are just really not improving, you do bottom out, you get the big contracts, like Forsberg is almost up, Yossi's almost done, then you can maybe bottom out and get your top guy. But if I had to guess, I would say that within that 3 to 5 year window, is when you would see real improvement. And I'll just say this, he was given a 6-year contract that with Bill Haslam. In the end, it's going to be a 6-year deal. I think that tells you right there how long they think it's going to take for this possible, you know, rebound, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, to take. So if it's not going to happen in 2 years, I don't think people need to panic. I think that it's going to take a little bit of time. He's methodical. He has a plan. And, I would say 3 to 5 years is when you could say, like, okay, the team is back. They're competing for a Stanley Cup. And they're back to, you know, where we saw about 10 years ago.
Alex, great insights as always. We appreciate you taking some time, and we will be sure to follow along for what will be an important offseason for the Predators coming up over the next few months.
Definitely. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me anytime.
Alex Doherty from the Tennessean joining us with good stuff on the Preds there. We will react to what Alex had to say, talk about what the first week of the Chris McFarland era has looked like, and we are a little over 2 weeks away from the NHL draft as well. All of that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.